Welcome to episode 444 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George. So everybody's heard of Nassau, but did you know there was a lot more to the Bahamas than just Nassau? The Bahamas consists of over 700 individual islands. I think that's crazy.
Yes.
Most are uninhabited, but a few are populated and deserve a little recognition. So Donna was asked to join the Grand Bahama Island Promotion Board in coordination with Bahamas Air to check out what Grand Bahama Island has to offer. So let's get started. So I love this because of where we live, right?
Oh, yes.
So do you want to talk about why they did this for you or why they did this trip?
So they were doing a big promotion several months ago because Bahamas Air created this nonstop flight on Thursdays and Sundays from Raleigh-Durham straight to Freeport. It's a great flight. It's about 2.5 hours. You could basically do it for a long weekend, and it's just amazing.
That's awesome. I love a nonstop. So.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, Raleigh doesn't always get a lot of love, so that's pretty cool.
Well, it was interesting because, I mean, I fly all the time now that I'm a travel agent, and it was interesting because I'm so used to going through the TSA pre-check line. Mm-hmm. Something you need to know is that the rules aren't set up with TSA. So even if you have TSA PreCheck or Global Entry or any of those things, Bahamas Air does not participate in that. So you still have to go through the regular line, which I didn't know until I showed up at the airport. Luckily, I showed up with enough time.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, that really changes how you pack when you're used to having pre-check.
It does. I mean, it was, I checked a bag, but it was because I was going to be there for a week and I knew that I was going to have different things and all. But I really tried to pack a little lighter and I still, you know, it took me about 30 minutes longer than it normally does to get through security.
Blah.
Yep. And you have to take your shoes off and take your laptop out.
I'm so spoiled by it. Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I know, that's the thing. You got to have your laptop in a certain place that you can get to it really quick.
Correct. And the other thing is they are not code shared with any other alliance. So if you have frequent flyer miles, the only frequent flyer miles you can get are through Bahamas Air. And you can't sign up for their frequent flyer program until you've actually experienced them first.
Interesting. But so how big was the plane? I mean, is it like a...
It was like a 707.
Okay. So like how many seats in a row?
It was three and three across.
Three and three. Okay. Okay. So that's a pretty big plane.
I mean, it was a decent sized plane. It's just, or maybe it was three and two, but yeah, it wasn't a huge one and it wasn't a small one. It wasn't a turboprop.
Yeah. 2.5 hours over the Atlantic. That's okay. Cool. So what did you guys do when you get there? So did you have to clear customs? I know that Bahamas.
Yes, you do. Okay. You still have to clear customs, which honestly, when you're going and you're not, you have nothing to declare to begin with. So it's really not that big a deal to get through. And it's a tiny airport. I haven't been in an airport quite that small in many, many, many years.
Yeah.
They don't have jetways. They don't have a jetway. No, they park the plane.
Oh, you mean okay.
They park the plane on the runway and they wheel over a little,
a staircase
or a ramp, and you have to go down the ramp, walk down the flight line to get back into the terminal.
Just like Punta Cana.
It is, but they only have one gate. They have one gate.
Okay.
And everybody goes into that one gate.
Okay.
Yep. So.
So where did you stay when you were there?
We stayed at Lighthouse Point at the Grand Lucayan Resort. It's one of the very few all-inclusives. It's right across from Port Lucaya, and there that area. It's really interesting because there's a little shopping area, straw market, and when you go on the cruise ships, that's where they take you to go shopping.
Oh, okay. Had you been there before?
So I did, yes. Actually, when I did the Holland, I did a Holland America cruise, and we stopped at Freeport, and so I'd actually shopped there, so I knew exactly where the resort was located. and what's interesting, so they, the Grand Lucayan is a huge resort, but most of it is closed. It's supposed to reopen this summer. They, when they got hit by the hurricane, Hurricane Dorian, several years ago, that part of the resort basically got flooded and most of the windows got blown out and everything. And they're still not going to be able to completely rebuild that resort.
Wow.
Is it
like the manpower or?
No, it's the villas that they have because they are first floor villas.
Mm-hmm.
They're right on and the code doesn't allow you to do that anymore. So they've either got to bring it up to code or they got to level them. And they're right now they're just sitting there. But the major part of the resort, which is this huge, like 12-story concave skyscraper, that is actually getting ready to open.
Oh, okay.
So
that'll be all nice and new.
It'll be all nice and new, yes. And they took us into the big lobby for the Grand Lucayan, and it's a beautiful lobby. Fantastic. And it's a great location right on the beach. There's several pools and
I'm assuming it's a family resort, right? Not
It is a family resort and it's one of the all, like I said, only a few all inclusives. And they've got a beach kind of a beach shack resort or restaurant, and then they've got a more formal restaurant, and that one is more of a buffet, but it specializes in Bahamian cuisine.
Oh, yum. Okay. Nice. So what other resorts did you visit? I know they probably kept y'all busy.
Oh, they basically took us all over the place. So the first resort they took us is actually directly across like an inlet right there at the resort, and it's called Pelican Bay. It's actually a European plan resort. So that means that it doesn't have all the food and everything. It does have a restaurant, but it's not included. And of course your drinks and all are. And the shopping center is basically kind of in between the two resorts.
Okay.
So
do they have rooms that are like maybe a kitchenette or something that you could?
And that's what this resort did. Pelican Bay does have like kitchenette area, so you can do some of your cooking on your own. And most of the resorts that we saw, not those two, but most of the other resorts were actually timeshare properties. So they did have kitchens, full kitchens, and things like that. But if they don't fill the timeshare, then they put it out on the market for anybody to take.
Okay. So probably want you to come do a tour.
Of course.
Of course they do.
Of course. So then we went to Paradise Cove, and Paradise Cove is actually an excursion area, and you can actually book that excursion on the cruise ships. They will come pick you up at the port and take you over there. They have a small like beach shack restaurant. They've got snorkeling, great beach. But what's really cool about this is they have two villas. They have two-bedroom villas. And so you can stay there right there at the resort. And it's very reasonable. So
are the villas like close together? Is that something that like...
They are. Like they are. Yeah, if you had a larger family, you could basically rent, and they hold six. Each one holds six people, and so you could rent both of them and take them over and be able to do the beach. And this is a man-made sandbar or beach break, and so they built this so it actually is a sheltered cove.
Nice. That sounds good for kids.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
Awesome.
And then the next resort we went to was the old Bahama Bay Resort. Now, this is a really, really amazing resort. It is actually designed with it has a marina, and you'll see these giant sailboats and yachts and things like that. So all the people from Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach and Miami, if they just want to get away, they come over to the old Bahama Bay Resort because they can park their boat.
I wonder how long that takes, because, I mean, a flight to the Bahamas from Miami is like 30 minutes. I wonder how long it takes on a boat.
It takes, because I asked, I think it was, it's 50 miles, so it takes about 2 hours.
That's nice.
By boat. Cool. And so it was, there were quite a few people there, but what's really fantastic, so because this is a marina, it's got a shop in it, so you can get basic supplies, groceries, things like that. Mm-hmm. These also have the kitchenettes. This was by far probably one of the prettiest resorts of all of them that we saw. The downside is that it's way out in the middle of nowhere. And there's really not any restaurants. There's not any, there's no activity going on. If you really want to get away from it all, this is the resort you want.
Does the resort have a restaurant and stuff?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. There was a beach bar. And we ate there. And then they've also got another restaurant on site. But that's all there is. You can't
and this
walk
would be,
somewhere.
This is not all-inclusive either.
No, these are none of these are all-inclusive. Lighthouse Point, and then further down we'll talk about the other one.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
All right, so your next bullet point is one that I'm interested. The Bahamian Brewery.
Yes.
So, did you like this kind of beer? Because in the Caribbean, I usually find the beer to be like light, you know, like my kind of beer.
Yes. So this is the brewery that makes Sands. That's the big one in the Bahamas that you've probably had. But they had a tasting room and everything, and so we got to try some of the other ones. The Strong Back Stout. If you like stouts. Mm-hmm. Quite a few people liked that one. The High Rock was kind of an ale, kind of a Vienna lager. And then you had the 66 Steps Ale. That's probably the one I liked the best. That was more of a amber.
Okay.
And then the Bush Crack was kind of, was their lighter beer, like a light beer. So
nothing like IPAs, nothing like that.
No, actually, and they told us this because it's a German brewery. It was actually, when it was started by a German family. And so they actually do get all their hops and all that kind of stuff from Germany. And they bring it in and they make their beers like German beers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get a t-shirt?
No, I did not get a t-shirt, but I definitely got quite a few beers to bring home.
Oh, really?
That's why I needed the second suitcase. Because I knew I was
going
to the brewery.
Do that?
I knew I was going to bring home beer, so I had to check at least one. Yes.
So did you have to declare that at customs?
No, you can bring 24 beers without having to pay duty.
Oh, okay.
One case. You can bring one case of beer. But honestly, you can bring back as much as you want. You just have to pay the duty on it.
Yeah.
Which is
pennies. Did you bring a whole case?
I brought 12.
Okay.
I brought 12 different ones. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay. So was that part of that tour, or did you take your little side
tour? No, it actually was part of our tour. They took us there. They wanted to show us the brewery, and so you can also do it because it's actually not far from the port.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is it something
it's
that you
actually
could easily
really
do?
I mean, it was maybe 30 minutes from the port. So if you got a taxi and said, "Hey, I want to go to the Bahamian Brewery," they'll take you over there.
Cool.
Yep.
Nice. All right. So then you started doing more resort tours again?
Another that was like day one.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. So day two, we started out at the Ocean Reef Yacht Club. It is actually on a marina as well, so it's not on the ocean. It was a timeshare, and it all of their units were actually two stories. So you had a downstairs area, and then you had a kitchen or a kitchenette, and then you had an upstairs where you had either one or two bedrooms.
Okay.
And it also had garages. So if you rented a car, you had a garage to put your car in.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a nice little quaint resort. And then from there we went to Taino Beach and the Flamingo Bay Resort. Taino Beach, it was probably my second favorite. Taino Beach, it's all done in that almost Jamaican style where it's all wood paneling and wood shutters and.
So is Taino Beach the name of a beach or is it the name of a hotel?
It's the name of the resort.
Okay.
And actually right there, every Wednesday they do like a fish fry.
Ooh.
On the beach. So, and that's where all the locals go for, or maybe it's Friday night. I can't remember. But they do a fish fry once a week, and it's every week in the summer. Nice. And so all the Bahamians, that's where they go for the fish fry.
Oh, I bet that's fun.
Yes. And we actually drove through the little area where, and it's all these little ramshackle shacks, and they sit there and fry fish all day. And so Taino Beach, and the other thing that was really made it was really cool was that they had a grotto bar with a swim up. So they built this structure of rock and shells and everything, and basically they made a swim up bar under the grotto, and you could also walk to it from the other side. Okay. And so you could go downstairs into this little grotto and have a drink and have a beer or a cocktail or something. And it had the biggest pool. It had a lazy river that basically went all the way around. And this place, it was huge. It had a besides being the pool itself, it also had a volleyball beach or water volleyball. Cool. It was that large. And then they had a great little beach bar or a beach restaurant that you could actually sit right and watch the sunset while you're having your dinner. And across the street was Flamingo Bay. Flamingo Bay, it was a pretty much like a motor lodge. It was all open, the doors on one side, and then you had balconies on the back side overlooking the marina.
Okay.
And
so like a motel with the outdoor, like the
yeah, with outdoor doors,
the exteriors. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But it was two buildings, and then the little office was in between. So
did it have like pool and stuff like that? Or
you walked across the street to Taino Resort.
Oh,
so they were connected. They basically, the Flamingo Bay was on one side of the street, and across the street was Taino Beach, and you could actually walk across the street, and you got, no matter which one you stayed at, you got to use all the facilities for both.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
And then we went to Sanctuary Bay Dolphin Encounter. So now the water was rather chilly in January. actually it was February. So I decided not to get into the water. I was observing.
Okay.
But there was quite a few, there was most of the dolphins that are at the Sanctuary Bay are free. They
just like living there?
they like living there, and they get treated very well, and they get fed out quite healthy, but they get released to the ocean every night. If they want to leave, they can go out to the ocean and do whatever they want, and then they can come back if they want. And I asked the guy, I says, well, was it difficult to get them to come back? And he's like, no, it's difficult to get them to leave.
Yeah, yeah, they don't want to leave.
They feed them, and they're well taken care of, and they're protected from sharks and all sorts of other things. So they prefer to stay in their little sanctuary area.
But you can swim with them, right?
You can swim with them. Yes, okay. You can get in the water. We didn't really swim. It was more of a, like I said, an encounter rather than a swim.
Okay.
So you get to feed them, you get to pet them, you get to touch them and everything, but you don't get to, they don't really swim
right.
with people, because that's not the, that's not, that's something you can do. It's just we didn't pay for that.
Okay.
So.
That's cool though. Yeah, I like that. Because, I always feel so bad whenever you see them in like a really tiny pool right next to the ocean or something. It just makes me sad.
No, so. This is all open, and they can go out to, they can go out into the ocean if they want. That's every cool. night. Yep.
Nice.
So okay. then we went to the Island Seas Resort, and this is, this was probably the best budget resort that I found. The beach is a little small, but the pool was decent size. They do have a restaurant on site. Mm-hmm. But it would be great for families because they have two bedrooms and three bedrooms.
Okay.
So if you're looking for something that can, you know, hold a bigger family, this was definitely a great option for that.
Okay.
And then last, but not least, is the Viva Wyndham Fortuna Beach. And that is the other all-inclusive. It's a Wyndham property. It is also a timeshare. But this was probably by far the busiest resort of all of them that we went to. Yeah. They couldn't even show us a room because they were booked solid.
Oh, wow.
That week. Okay. They did have quite a few restaurants. They did have a buffet as well. They invited us to eat at the Italian restaurant. The pizza was good. The pasta was good. They had a decent-sized beach. It was a little hard to see because it was dark. But it was a pretty good size. And then they had
kept
a couple...
kept you out until nighttime?
Oh, yes. And then, of course, the pool area was quite impressive as well. This would be a great property for families. Lots of activities, and they were the only ones that also had a dive shop on site.
Oh, I bet you.
Yep. So that was like, right away. That's the one I would go to.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how hard do you think it would be? It sounds like it's very conducive to renting a car and kind of being on your own. Do you feel like that is something that's easy to do and get around and have things to do?
Yeah, well, there's actually a story about that. The tourist cars, the cars that come from the rental car places, have different license plate colors so that they know that you're an idiot. Because in the Bahamas...
you're going to be driving on the wrong side of the road.
Because you're in the Bahamas, it was a British colony, so therefore they drive on the other side of the road. Okay. And in the roundabouts, you know, people get a little confused.
Ooh,
I mean, they get confused here in the United States, much less being on the wrong side of the road and trying to do a roundabout.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so they actually have license plate. They're yellow if... their rental cars, so they kind of give you a little wider berth.
Okay.
So you can, and it is very conducive to driving around and just kind of wandering and all. But Grand Bahama Island is not very built up. It really is not. It is kind of a diamond in the rough. And because of that reason, there's not as many activities and all to keep you entertained. However, if you're going to just relax and, you know, if you got little ones that are by the, are going to be by the pool and they're going to be totally happy just playing in the pool all day or going to the beach.
Yeah.
This
sounds like a beach vacation, chill on the beach kind of thing.
Correct. And those direct flights from Raleigh Durham are very inexpensive comparatively to some other airlines and some other islands. It's a perfect family vacation.
So do you know where else Bahamas Air flies nonstop besides RDU? This is catching you off guard, I know.
I do know they fly out of Fort Lauderdale and they fly out of Miami direct to Nassau. But they also fly the little hops to the other islands. So if you want to go to Abaco or you want to go to Exuma or you want to do some of these other little islands, Bahamas Air is what you're going to take.
Okay.
So you got to get to Nassau because that's their big hub. And then Nassau, you go to other places.
But you didn't have to. You went straight to Freeport.
Right. No, we went straight to Freeport. So
nice.
Yes.
All right. I love it. Anything else before we sign off that we forgot about?
Definitely do it. It's worth to go see it before it gets so it explodes. Because I know it's coming because Disney just announced they're building something there. So it's going to explode. So go see it before it does.
Awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.